Today's episode contains content that may be alarming to some listeners. This episode mentions of mental illness, death, suicide, and sexual assault. If you or someone you know needs help, please seek professional medical advice. This episode is for informational and educational purposes only and does not substitute professional medical advice or consultations with healthcare professionals. So please listen with care.
Hello, my soul-seeking friends. It's Shanna. Thank you so much for listening to Sense of Soul podcast, enlightening conversations with like-minded souls from around the world, sharing their journey of finding their light within, turning pain into purpose, and awakening to their true sense of soul. If you like what you hear, show me some love and rate, like, and subscribe. And consider becoming a Sense of Soul Patreon member, where you will get ad-free episodes, monthly circles, and much more. Now go grab your coffee, open your mind, heart, and soul. It's time to awaken.
On today's episode, we have Gina Cavalier. She is an inspirational speaker, clairvoyant healer, a medical health advocate, an author, a filmmaker, artist, and a spiritual teacher. Gina is the co-author of an upcoming book called Surviving Suicidal Ideation, From Therapy to Spirituality and the Lived Experience, available for pre-sale now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. She is also the host of the Liberated Healer podcast, where she aims to dive deeper into traditional and alternative methods of healing for the mind, body, and soul. And it's my honor to have her with us today for a very important conversation. So please welcome Gina.
Hi.
Okay. How's it going?
Amazing. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I'm excited. Your podcast is wonderful. I've watched it, listened to it, and yeah, just why don't you introduce yourself, Gina, and tell everybody who you are and where you came from.
Hi, everybody. So grateful to be in your presence and in your space today. My name is Gina Cavalier. I have a company called The Liberated Healer that I started about 3 years ago that sort of was divinely guided to me all of a sudden after being a student of healing myself for about 15 years. I have a background in the entertainment business, working at all the studios. And, you know, I just wasn't in flow and I was sad. I was feeling disconnected from myself and my life purpose. Really kind of had a self-hatred that I didn't realize was playing in my mind over and over again because we can be very cruel to ourselves and not really realizing it. And that whole thing becomes just a giant ball of wax, people pleasing, whatever your thing is, it just kind of rolls together and just starts to collect. And I reached my breaking point to a point where, you know, I had been on and off suicidal for many years of my life. Ever since childhood from abusive family life. And, you know, I've been on my own since I was 14. So I've had to kind of really be a survivor. And then really one day just said, I'm tired of feeling this way. There's got to be another way to live. And I got to figure this out and put my healing journey onto my own responsibility and just kind of went down that really difficult road. And it was hard. It was many dark nights of the soul, many, 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 but felt divinely guided and supported by spirit. And then my voice and my direction just started to show up. And the people started to show up. People like you start to come into my life. And you realize when you raise your vibration that all the right things that you need will show up, that all we are is love. And I've been able to absolutely 100% heal my suicidal ideation. And I want people to know that it can be healed, that you don't have to live like that your whole life. I'm like overly nice to myself now. If any negative thought comes in, I really look at it and say, okay, you could have done better. You could have worded that better. You could have handled that better. It's okay. What have you learned? How are you going to do things differently next time? Like, I've become my own best friend, literally. And what happens is you don't hold on to that energy and it just flies away and you move on with your day. But people who are suicidal or have trauma, they get stuck in the energy of that thing. They get triggered and it eats up their whole day or their whole week or their whole month. And they fall into a pit, a rabbit hole pit of obsessive, dark energy, all kinds of things. And that's when people get lost. And I want to help people who are lost.
It's a true pain to purpose story.
Yeah.
And the name of your business, the liberated healer, that really sticks out to me because at the beginning of my journey, it's one thing I kept saying is how free I felt.
Yes. You know, I studied clairvoyant healing. And so I would do healings on people and readings on people. And that's how I learned about energy. And actually learning about energy was what helped me because I was so sensitive. And I would say, oh, that's real heavy energy. I could change it into light energy. And I realized that I had way more control than I knew I had. And that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Whether it's spirit, like what you're talking about, like you have a connection and you know that you can, you have a soul tribe behind you. Or for me, it was, oh, that thing in front of me, that real dark, heavy energy, I could transform it. Just put a bunch of love, throw a bunch of love on it and a bunch of light on it. And then all of a sudden it'll get freer. And the Liberated Healer was not my name. It came to me through light source. After COVID, I was in bed. I'm very sensitive. I took CBD to try to sleep and it made me high or something. I don't know. It's not supposed to. But I had like this really like, I was like all of a sudden like in this weird tunnel and like, I was just like, wow, this is weird. And this big light opened. I don't know, maybe it was helping me transform my energy and my whole room filled with light. And it just said, you're going to start teaching people now. And here's the name, the Liberated Healer. And I was like, what? I'm in a good place. I just want to be a student. And they said, nope. This was all so you could teach. And I was like, oh, shizzle. That's a huge responsibility. That means I really have to be on my game. If you become a teacher, it's stepping into responsibility. And that was scary for me. But that night I stayed up all night. I didn't go to sleep. I wrote the mission statement. I built the website. It was divinely guided. And then I just sent out an email to everybody that said meditation classes on Monday. It was just boom. Good. And it's evolved a little bit, but I did not know that I was going to write this great book, How to Heal Suicidal Ideation. I got the podcast. I got the trauma therapist to do it with me. I got the publisher. I'm doing a documentary. I have a nonprofit now. I mean, literally, it's just rolled out my life purpose. 20 years when I was in the entertainment industry, it felt like I was on an endless uphill mountain.
Right.
Pushing up a boulder. And I never felt like I actually achieved anything. I never felt connected to the product. Obstacle would come and it would feel just so like heavy, like my life is terrible. How come I can't ever get there? Now, when an obstacle comes, I look at it. What's the problem here? And then it's gone and I move to the next. And that's what I think when you do your life purpose, will help heal any type of depression or suicidal ideation you have. And because you are feeling connected with your mission and we all have a mission. The part of letting go of all the other stuff is where you need support and help. And from people like stories like mine, oh yeah, you know what? I've always wanted to be an artist or I always, whatever it is, be an explorer. You know, that stuff is in your heart for a reason. And spirit constantly tells me every single day, you guys live too much in your head and not in your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, any single person in the world would probably be suicidal if they were in my head at the time when I was suicidal. The things that I would say to myself were mean and abusive. I was in an abusive relationship with myself. Anybody would have been suicidal. I was not worthy of anything. I did not deserve anything. I didn't belong anywhere. And it played in my head like a record. And when somebody said something mean to me, I would fall into my obsessive little victimness and my self-pity and be like, of course, I don't deserve it. And I would get sad and I would be alone. And now I'm in that vibe. And so what goodness is going to want to vibe with me when I'm in that pit? Now I'm creating an isolated world. And then, yes, there is light and dark. Then the darkness can come in and say, yeah, you're right. So now it becomes that thing. So when people say that I'm sad, I'm suicidal, I get it. I can understand exactly. I go right to that point and remember where they are. So I know where they are. I know where you are. But just slowly retraining your brain and saying, nope, you are not. Get up, go for a walk, read something, watch a podcast. That's why all these things are really important. No, you are not that. And what happens is just like anything else, just like if you went to the gym and now you're going to get healthier, you are going to get healthier. It's going to start to fall off. You're raising your frequency. You're not going to be able to hold that energy anymore. going to be able to talk to yourself that way anymore.
That's what I kept thinking about. I was like, I would never tell my daughters what I'm telling myself ever. Like, you're not good enough. You're not worth it. All of those same things.
Yeah. Got to the point where I do mini tests with myself because I was such a people pleaser. Anything that they needed, I always use my real world example. Like, for example, I moved to a more secluded place and I'm not around a lot of friends and family. So when they come to town, I get really excited, right? My friends surprised me yesterday and I planned going to yoga, which is really important for my mental health. I wanted just to cancel everything and go out with them. And I said, sorry, I'll meet you for a little while, but I got yoga first. And I was sitting in yoga, which was 90-minute hot yoga. Not that I don't love them, but I put myself first. I would have never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm on my mission. I need to care for myself. This is for my mental health. And that just went, girl, I can't believe that. You put yourself first and you got to appreciate yourself when you do those things that you consider good as a proven practice and sharing this with other people because are you doing that? And then also acknowledging it because the acknowledgement is the important part. If you don't acknowledge the patterns that have changed, you know, we do need to give ourselves some gold stars once in a while, you know?
It's so easy to come out of it because everything in the world is trying to pull you out of this space that you're in. You know, your friends, your family, society, the news. When you think about it, truly, those things weren't working for you. And so the thing that was working for you is this hot yoga and, you know, you staying on your track. But it is easy to get pulled out of it. And I think things are constantly trying to.
And I still got to see him and hang out with him for a couple hours. And then I said, I have an interview in the morning and I'm going to go home and go to bed early. And I wouldn't have done that before. Things that we tell ourselves are like, oh, they came here and it's such a special thing. I should just do whatever they need. And we actually also think so much about what other people are thinking.
Oh, yeah. In other people's head, assuming their thoughts.
We don't know what they're thinking. We really overthink what they are thinking all the time.
I get used to it because I remember at the beginning of this journey also with my children, like learning to say no, because they would just suck me dry if they could. And I let them. So when I started to say no, I remember especially my older kids were like, what? What do you mean no? You know, like, I'm like, yeah, it's a new thing I'm doing. I'm telling you no. And eventually they catch on because when you change, everything around you changes.
Yeah.
I did learn really how to use boundaries. And I used to think that boundaries were about the other person. And that's where it was wrong. I had to really understand that these boundaries were for me.
No. And, you know, people that have a traumatic background have a really hard time with boundaries. And you know, it's just something that you have to take on and learn about them. And it's kind of harder to learn. And if you're not taught it when you're young, when you're older, you know, it's one of those things that you have to go back and re-put them in, but they're just so super valuable. I forgot what the studies were, but school has not really changed in many, many years. And I don't have kids. So even though it is up to the parents, but there are some things that I think kids in schools would benefit from. And it would be like say if there was, there should be like a debate class or a conflict resolution class because everything in our world is about conflict resolution, right? Or like how to deal with people.
How to communicate.
How come there isn't a class that says, you're going to have to learn how to do this because you can't run away and you can't block everybody, right? Like soon there's not going to be anybody to block. You know, you get one person mad and block. And now you've cut that all off. And then these kids are wondering like, well, who do I have? And they feel lonely. Who do I go to? And they haven't worked through the painful parts.
They're learning about math that they'll never use in their life. Most of them, you know, history, that's BS. I have a really big issue, especially with my 11-year-old. Every day she has to watch the news in the morning. And not only does she have to watch it, but the questions that are the, I would say it's kind of like an inquiry that she has to do, four questions, are really to make sure that she heard all of these things and how to compare it with her personal life. So she really truly has to listen to it and receive it. And I don't watch the news.
Wait, is that a class assignment?
No, this is every morning for every kid in the school, starting in elementary school all the way to high school.
I have never heard that before.
It's disturbing. I had to do it with her because she was homesick for a week. And I was like, you watch this every morning about like Biden and Zelensky and how much money.
No.
This is also, okay, this is one-sided news. It is CNN news. Not that I have anything against anybody, but I'm just saying I do know that it's one-sided over here and one-sided over there. That's brainwashing.
Oh, I would be very upset.
And just looking back, I mean, or, you know, there's also the stuff like she's like so excited about science. She's in middle school and she was telling me all of these, you know, experiments they were doing. And then it came to Friday and she didn't want to go to school. I'm like, why? And she's like, because remember all that fun stuff I said about science? Now we have to take a test on it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I wasn't a very good student. I'm a better student now. And that's why I have my podcast, Liberated Healer. But because I love learning. And I realized that I love learning, but I was not good at test taking. It caused a lot of anxiety for me. I had disabilities that people didn't realize, like dyslexia and things like that. And so I would have almost a panic attack at, you know, every test. But I look at everything as energy, right? I mean, I'm kind of trained in energy. Money's energy.
Yeah.
You know, money's not just a piece of paper. It's an energy. And if you say to yourself, well, I can't have any of that kind of energy, you're not going to get any energy. So I look at it as all energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the classroom is all energy. So what her experience was to me was energy. Is like she was in the flow. She was learning. She was connecting herself and her soul with something that spoke to her, ingesting it and having a good time.
And she was on the experience.
And then a line in the sand came and then now went to a different energy, which didn't respond to her soul because her soul is saying, that's not what it's about. The soul, you know what I mean?
And we wonder why so many kids are committing suicide. I mean, I can't tell you how many of my friends and my children's friends, I mean, as young as middle school.
No, I know. I wrote a book called Surviving Suicidal Ideation that's coming out in June. I wrote it with a trauma therapist, Dr. Amelia Kelly. She was on my podcast and I just was like, something kept saying, ask her to write it with you. She said, yes. We wrote a book proposal. We sent it out. We got 4 offers. You know, she's published out there, but I wasn't at the time. And I went with the Swedenborg Foundation because it's a nonprofit and they're going to donate books to anybody that needs it. I wanted that because it's like, you need it, you're going to get it. You don't have the money. Okay, fine. You get it. And that's what I think this type of, we have to come from that place of wholesome assistance to our humanity and to the other people that are suffering. We can do so much better in so many different ways. And that's why people like you and I are out here every day hustling. This is not easy. We are hustling for ourselves first, but for humanity, because we know we can do better. We have ample amount of energy in terms of money, but it's all going to the wrong places, honestly. It really is. There shouldn't be any reason why there is a homeless person in America. There's no reason for a kid to go hungry in America. It just blows my mind that actually happens. But if we start to look at it all as energy, right? But yes, they're becoming so suicidal. They're disconnected. So I wrote this book. There's safety plans in it. There's meditations, there's exercises. So she speaks through it through a therapeutic side, which I think is great because I'm a lived experience and I've healed it myself. And I healed it mostly from my spirituality and from me connecting to my spirit and my soul and seeing how beautiful my soul is.
Yeah.
And these kids need to see that spark in them. Or people, or anybody that needs to see that spark in you, that soul is so beautiful. Like Niagara Falls is so beautiful, or the 7 wonders of the world, or a bear, or a polar bear. There's something that just speaks to you and go, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. You are just as beautiful as that inside. And we all have not just our fingerprints are unique, but our soul is unique.
Mm-hmm.
It flows uniquely. It sounds unique. It moves and it's with you. And what's happening to a lot of these people is they're not connected to that soul anymore. Mm-hmm. They feel like there's like a layer cutting you off And so you, now you have this physical body and spirit like here, and then your soul's way over there and you're disconnected. And that's where the real depression comes in, when you're not connected to your spirit. Yeah. But the therapeutic side is when you have trauma or you're really stuck in that programming. That's why she talks about, you know, a childhood abuse or the triggers and things like that. If you need therapy, go get therapy. Whatever you need to get back to that soul, do it. And you'll know. And just, all you have to do is say, is this resonating with me? Is this therapist resonating with me? No, try another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if they try to put you on medication and that doesn't vibrate with you or resonate with you, just say no and try someone else. I went to Christian churches. I literally went to all of them, and I took a little bit of everything that spoke to me. Physical is yoga. So you have to make up your own recipe, because you are the only one that knows what resonates with you. And that's why I started the Liberated Healer. And I'm not the Liberated Healer. I liberated it in myself, but everyone can be their own healer, their own healer to get to liberation. Liberation is a great word. That's a high vibrational energy word, right? You are free. Mm-hmm. You want to get free. You want to fly. You want to get free from your pain. You want to get free from the things that are keeping you stuck. You don't have to be stuck. And that's, I guess, the continual message. And you're not alone. You're never alone. Loneliness is a very real thing, especially here in America. I mean, with elderly, and part of us are never alone because we have our spirit guides but we are, as a society, lonely. And I think when I was a kid and I would see like people in convalescent hospitals and the elderly, I just would break my heart. We've lost our tribe. When you start on this journey, you will say, for example, kids are spending 6 to 9 hours a day on their phone. And then they're wondering why they're sad or suicidal, right? Can you take one of those hours and read a book to an elderly person that doesn't have any family left? That kid would be like, I actually did something nice for someone today. And they would feel great inside, right?
So true.
Or they're not being guided to do those kind of things.
It's true, because service work is so healing for a person.
I did it when I was really bad. I'll just share. I bought my house when I was really young. I was proud of myself. And I had my house for 20 something years. I'd gone through the divorce. I was sad. I was suicidal. And I was like, you know, when I have all this equity in the house, I don't want to die with all this money. I worked hard for it. I'm going to sell my house and I'm going to give it to people. And that's how suicidal I was. I was going to sell my house, take out the equity. And I did. I rented a fancy place in Hollywood Hills. I gave my friends that needed money. I wrote checks. Crazy. I could use that money now, but but I didn't care. And that's a good sign for someone suicidal, when they're giving away their things or their belongings, because we're not taught to talk about suicide. And that's another reason why I started Suicidal Ideation Anonymous, which is going to act a lot like AA, because people don't want to share it because they're afraid of their future and explaining. They're afraid they're going to get locked up. But I sold everything and I was renting and I was just going to blow it all. And I love animals. So I went and volunteered at an animal shelter, and I had all this money in the bank, and I'm sitting there picking up dog poop and walking them and cleaning all these animals that had nowhere to go and nobody to love them. And I feel like crying now. It just like, cause I literally could feel my energy shifting as I went into helping another thing that needed somebody. And I went, what are you doing? Oh my God, you can still help something. You're helping this dog right now. And part of my journey is like, okay, you got this. Okay, what are you going to do now? How are you going to fix this? And then, you know, but if you have nothing, go and volunteer. If you don't like people, a lot of people don't like people anymore. Go to an animal shelter and volunteer once a week. It'll change you within a few days. And you see animals abused and beaten, and you just have to go to wherever the charity is in your heart. And you realize how charitable, how good you are, and how much your action is valuable in this world. Because that's the thing, is we've got to just constantly tell ourselves about our value.
Yeah.
And when you do charity work, it does show your value. So it's funny when I tell people I like humans, people go, "You do?"
I like humans.
Ask somebody that or tell somebody that.
I know.
Like, I don't like humans. You know how
I know.
We need to change that. But it's because they've been hurt by humans.
And or they've seen the hurt around the world. Yeah, which I couldn't when I was little. We didn't have stuff like that. You couldn't see what was going on in the world. You know, so you had to either watch it on the news, on one time on the news, whenever the news was at 5 o'clock, or you had to read it in a newspaper. It has changed because they can constantly see, you know, what's happening around the world. And it's devastating. And so if you're watching it all the time, it does make you really disappointed in humanity. I mean, killing each other's children will never, ever solve a country's problem.
And if you become passionate about a thing that you don't want to see, you got to find positive ways to support that cause. We have an online civil war happening. That actually does not help anybody because everybody is right and they're righteous.
Yes.
And they're throwing their righteousness on top of you. I know, I studied, I learned, I looked it up. I know what's going on. What you're actually doing is you are taking all of that energy of when you were building up, like in your research, and you're just looking for anyone to dump it on.
Mm.
You're dumping it on that one person. And that might be the last thing that person can take. Within our conversation in this podcast, every 11 minutes, a person commits suicide. How many people have we lost in the time of this podcast? Do you want to be that person that was the last thing that they could have taken? That's what I think of every single time when I get angry about something I see online. And then I say, do I want to post something? Nope. I'm going to go do something healthier in my community or in my circle or for me today, instead of dump on that person because I know I'm right about something.
Women.
And the more we can just say, no, please, no more of this stuff on bashing on each other. Yeah. You're not going to change that person's mind that way. So if that worked, I would say maybe something different. Like if it actually, like, I don't know if it actually, that debate actually came to a resolution, I would say, well, it works. It's not working.
Well, it's almost like a mother. Think about it. I think about my four children. They're all so freaking different, right? You know, one's vaxxed, one's not, one's Democrat, one's not, you know, one likes this, one doesn't, you know, I mean, they're all so different, but I still love them.
Of course.
You know, I still treat them the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd agree with their beliefs or their ideas or whatever, but I still support them.
That's all we have to do. It's we can support each other. We're more connected than we ever know. To the people that you consider you hate them, you're actually connected to them. You're actually a part of them. We're all connected.
Like you said, living more with your heart than your mind.
Exactly. Going back to the we're in our mind too much, not in our heart. Because when you're in your heart space, you wouldn't be a online civil war person. And that's what's happening.
Divided States of America is what we have here at home.
We really are only hurting ourselves. Like I said, you might be that person's last line that they can't take it. If we start to look at it a little bit like that, then you say, you know what? I'm not going to contribute to that.
No.
If you really believe in your, like, say, a candidate for politics, then go volunteer for that candidate and do official stuff. That I'm not saying don't believe in what you believe in or support what you support in, but find healthier ways to support your ideology.
Yeah.
I got so berated by a family member saying that I don't read enough. I don't understand enough what's going on in X, Y, and Z. I'm stupid. And I'm blah, blah, blah. It's simply, they can't understand, you know, and I just was like, what? And he's like, you live in Vegas. I don't think you understand what's really going on in the Middle East. I mean, I honestly couldn't see the correlation of this person who really had this strong conviction and has never had to live that kind of, I don't know. I've never had to live that kind of life. I can't, how can I speak about that? I can speak about what my experiences are. And that's what I'm focused on. And I'm trying to share it to see if it helps another person who's going through it. But I'm not going to all of a sudden jump into that. I'm going to really, not saying I can't hold some context, but I'm not going to be a champion for that for the whole day on my computer. But there are people that are jumping in on that. Find healthier ways to support your vision or what you believe in, whether, you know, join that campaign. It'll give you a call log. You can actually call people. You can do, but you got to do it in healthier ways.
Yeah, I think that oftentimes the energy of the outside is running them. Like they're not choosing consciously, where am I going to put my energy today? Like they're being controlled by the outside energy.
Well, the problem with it is that if you look at if you look at everything as a stream of energy, like a river, right? So where are you going to dip your toe into? Because what happens is you dip your toe into it and then it takes you. And so now you're in the energy of all of that.
Yeah.
All of it, everything that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you've become a part of it. Now you're holding it. You're actually building karma with it. You actually are building karma that you're going to carry and you're going to give into your family.
Mm-hmm.
So you better make sure that you want to dip your toe in that river.
Right.
Because there's not actually a single river stream that is not fallible.
Right. And it's a very controlling energy. And this could be for good and bad. You know, I mean, you could go, you know, think that you're doing the good things and all of a sudden that's controlling your life, that one thing. And you no longer have the space for love, you know, because you're just so overwhelmed with doing, doing, doing. I mean, you could really get caught up in even doing good things is what I'm saying. So it, for me, I think of it almost like a jar of energy. And where am I going to put my little nuggets today of the energy so that, and also what are you going to keep for yourself by the end of the day?
Absolutely.
Or in the morning?
Yes. You know, we could just do so much, but we are just so magical. Yeah. We are so beautiful. Every single one of us is so magical. We come together. We really can do. Look what we have actually accomplished in the last couple hundred years. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. We've created a really great place. We can do so much better. We just have to figure out ways, healthier ways to support one another. And we have to take care of our old people. We have to take care of them. We have to protect our children. Mm-hmm. I mean, children is the number one energetically thing. If you hurt a child, it is the worst thing you can do energetically, mm-hmm. you know, and there are a lot of shifty stuff happening and that is starting to come out. And that is a part of what God energy or source energy, like shining light on that stuff.
Yeah.
But as a society, got to protect the children 100%. Not a single child in this world should not be protected and ever get violated. That is a representative of humanity.
And I had heard one in three have been sexually assaulted. But I just looked at that and I was like, okay, I have four kids, five. I actually have a stepdaughter too. So I'm like, this is crazy to me.
Yeah. But that's an energy. Going back to your glasses, that's energy. And so we have to do that. We have to help the elderly people. We have to get out of celebrity worshiping. It's not helping anybody. Putting them on a pedestal, like they're gods and things like that. It's like, and where we're following every single thing they do. And we buy everything that they say that we need. And the documentary I'm raising funds for, and I'm have a lot of interest. I'm hoping the documentary will get together. I'm raising $500,000 for it right now. We're talking about the social issues because it also seems to be lending to mass shootings.
Yeah.
Because mass shooters are suicidal, mm-hmm. obviously, right? And then they become homicidal. So we have to start looking at this. Why are they suicidal? Why are they so angry and suicidal that they want to result to that? Social pressures and then not getting there, you know, and seeing in self-pity and self-worth, you know, social media has good things and bad things, but, you know, breaking it down. I love art. Art is great. I'm an artist, you know, let's celebrate art. Let's celebrate photography and art and movies. Still is fine. But everybody told me I was an artist. Every single person. I used to work at the studios and they would say, you're a business person, not a creative person, all the time. And so I would say, okay, I'm not a creative person. I mean, when you actually listen, we listen to things that people say, especially when it's repeatedly being yelled at us. So I would do my doodles and then every once in a while I'd be like, somebody would say, that's art. And I was like, no, it's just a doodle. No, that's art. No, it's just a doodle. I would play this over and over again. I have 30 images in the book now that I illustrated that's going to be published. That's insane that I've been able to go. That's jumping a whole, that's jumping a giant mountain or wave. You know, I finally got that negativity out of my mind, and I would buy the paper and be afraid to make the paper ugly.
You want to know what my daughter does? She's an artist. She's 11. She is such a good artist, probably one of the best artists I know.
Yeah.
And you should see her work at school. It's stick figures. And I said, why? Because she would rather do that than stand out.
Mm.
She doesn't like the focus and the spotlight on her.
Yeah.
And so she actually intentionally makes herself small.
Yeah. I did that too, because people always would tell me I was a dingy blonde.
Mm.
And because I was kind of cute when I was younger, you know what I mean? I'm going to be 54 next week, so I'm older now. But when I was like in my, you know, 20s and trying to achieve things, and I just wanted to learn, you know, they literally would put me in that box and say, oh, you know, you're just a cute blonde, you know?
Yeah.
And I literally would be like, okay, I guess that's okay. You know, actually, that's why being a published author, if anybody who knows me, it's like I want to well up in tears right now, because it's like I wanted more for myself so badly. I wanted to be a writer so bad. And everybody told me I couldn't. Everybody told me that, and I believe them. When everybody's telling you that, you believe them. You know, they're like, oh, you're just some cute, you're a cute blonde. Go get a husband. You know, go get a, you know, and I had one of those, and then it went, well, you know, and like, you know, and all I did was take care of him and help him with his career. And then when he, you know, started making a lot of money, and he is in a band called Flogging Molly. They're like an Irish, a really famous Irish band now. And I worked all on his career, and, you know, and then as soon as he started making a lot of money, he left. So it was like, well, that wasn't work out very well. So you have to just really work on yourself, but and tune all that stuff out. But I kept myself so small.
Yeah.
You know, I just started to believe everything they would put me into. You know, I got sexually assaulted at work at a Christmas party, and really bad. I wound up having to do a case because they were like, well, what's wrong? They were being really threatening with me, you know, wanting me to sign something, all this stuff. And I got scared, and I was actually in the middle of a divorce. So my attorney, we did, you know, we started a case, and the mediator was a trial, and it was all these men around me. My attorneys, their attorneys, the mediator, all men. And the mediator was an older guy, a trial attorney. And he said, Gina, he said, you're too pretty. No, a jury will never believe you. And I had all these people telling me that I wasn't going to be believed. And I just signed away and I just said, okay. And I left. But I wanted to stand up for myself because I was completely violated, because it actually ruined my career, because it got out and everybody judged me and said that I deserved it or whatever. The whole company.
Yeah. Blame, shame on you.
Went against me. And I stayed there for an entire year, and to the point where people wouldn't work with me on my projects and things like that. And I'm thinking about that, because it can get that, you know, it can get really that bad where they would just say, oh, you're not going to believe you, Gina. And what I'm looking at a room full of men, older men. I'm vulnerable. I was sexually violated. My career's on the line. I'm going through a divorce. Really emotional. I was very suicidal at that time, extremely suicidal. And they're just telling me, don't worry, you know, you can't go. My own attorney is telling me I don't have a case because the jury won't believe me. They're like, literally told me, if you were like just this meek girl, you would be believable, but you're just too outgoing. You're like, you're too pretty. They're never going to believe that this could happen to you. And so I said, okay. And I settled, and it was for nothing. And I had already lost my job and my career. So I had to completely start. And I was blackballed in the industry for a couple of years. I literally could not, I would get hired, and then they'd find out about the case. And then they would call me up on that Monday, on the day I was supposed to start, and say, we changed our mind. Like, it was hard. And if we want people to not want to check themselves out of this world, I mean, we got to change a lot of things. I do appreciate the Me Too movement because that's actually opened up some of those doors, like Harvey Weinstein. Everybody knew what was going on with that guy.
Well, if everybody knows and nobody does anything, that's the problem with this world. We just turn the cheek, you know, and this is scary. Just we'll just pretend we don't see it. And then we don't have to worry about it.
Well, it's scary because they will take you down. But we are actually stronger together.
Mm-hmm.
If we all came together and went against the powerful people that would ruin our life, these people had money that was coming after me, right?
Right.
And I didn't have anything at the time. So yeah. And I was shamed a lot of times that I didn't fight hard enough too. You know what I mean? So I had the real shame and then I had shame for not fighting for myself. I was literally too broken. I didn't have anybody on my side. But if all of us, me, you, everybody, all these people just put the line in the sand and say, absolutely no more. We are not going to be abusive online to other people. We're going to protect our children. If we hear anything that happens, we're going to protect elderly. We're going to protect, you know, if we all stand up a lot more, we can really achieve great things together. We have to.
Yeah.
Time is here and is now.
Because you know what? When you think about energy, which is more powerful? I mean, the light will overpower that darkness.
And we're getting assistance now more than ever on the light side. And it's because podcasts are great because we are finding a voice outside of traditional media.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that we have that now.
I know.
But think about it. We really didn't have that before. And we were literally being conditioned in one way or another. We can really influence people in a positive way that we couldn't really do before.
I mean, and women are sharing their stories. The power in sharing your story. And from the other end, who is listening, the people who just listen to you share that story, Gina, there's so much power in that.
And that's why there's caveman drawings. You know, we tell through story. We're visual creatures. And that's great. You know, we have to just know who we are. You know, we're these humans are so interesting and beautiful. You know, just stories can help other people. Like, that's why, you know, I love storytelling, you know, and it's very powerful. Everybody knows it's powerful. We just have to create more positive content.
And I would also say, you know, some of the stories that have been told were told also to keep us small. So to relook at some of the things that we've been told and find your own story within it. You know, when I think about like the cave, you know, in Plato or Adam and Eve, you know, all of those stories, you know, I mean, you can see from a different perspective if you are living a liberated life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to send a shout out to anybody who's suffering with any type of suicidal ideation. And
yes,
you know, it's really scary. I get a lot of letters now almost daily from someone either has thought about it or have had people, you know, so I have to constantly be into this position of what do I say? How do I respond to these conversations? And I instantly go to a few memories of mine where I was very close to leaving this world. And so I can truly understand like that moment. All I can say is that you have a purpose here. Please stay. I like Jordan Peterson and I'm not a doctor. So I listen to him when he speaks because he's qualified. And he says, just wait one more day. Can you just hold on one more day? And I think that's great advice because usually the next day the energy does change and you can get out of it. So whatever you need to do to just wait one more day, get through a sleep cycle and then put a plan in place. Also, in our book, we have a safety plan where you can write people that you can call. You know, we do a safety plan, do things that better help yourself. Some people can't meditate when you're in it.
Yeah.
That's why I use the visuals. Then look at a piece of art. You know, there's other, put on music. I have an iHome next to my bed that is either playing ocean sounds or meditation music almost 24/7 because I have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even realize it that, oh, wow, I'm feeling really good. And I'll hear, oh, that's a pretty sound. Oh, yeah. There are things. So please find whatever that is. Bring in your soul team or your tribe and say, I'm suffering right now. Can I put you on my safety call list?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we have to try to avoid judging and criticizing other people. When you do that, imagine pancake batter, right? Like that sticky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking a ball of it and you're throwing it on that person's energy. When you are throwing online stuff or judgments or criticism, you are actually throwing that on that person. You are doing that to other people too. We need to go back, you know, quit judging people. So you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their whole story is. And even if they are a terrible person, let God figure it out. Let the light figure it out. It's not your thing to judge. They are going to judge themselves harder than you could ever judge them. Let it go. Stop it. Yeah. Go do something positive with your energy. That's right. Going to help you and them and everyone else and the world. And the more that we do that for each other, all boats rise with the tide. It's true. Mm-hmm. We're all going to go up and live better lives. And we're going to see the suicide rates go down instead of up.
Well, but definitely with what you are trying to put out there and that you are, you know, putting out there, you authoring your book and your podcast and just congratulations. And thank you so much for healing. It is each of our responsibility to do the work to heal. I feel the liberation from you, Gina. Yeah.
I do love myself now. I never did before. I didn't know that you could love yourself. I do. I love myself so much. I'm like, gosh, you really love yourself, don't you? I do. It's funny. I never thought you could do that. You actually can.
Well, you're beautiful. Yeah, I love it. I'm so thankful that you've spent this time with me. But thank you so much for coming on. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find your book.
Oh, okay. TheLiberatedHealer.com. Everything is on there. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. The book is Surviving Suicidal Ideation. It's coming out June 5th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. My second book is called The Dark Side of the Rose, A Handbook for the Living. Mm-hmm. And it's going to talk about this stuff on a spiritual side a little bit more about like what happens contractually, you know, what happens energetically and things like that. I'm going to be doing a college and high school tour to talk to kids, hopefully to connect with them a little bit more, to spread the message. I'm actually raising funds for a documentary and I got the director and I got a lot of important people talking. And so that's going to be really interesting. So I'm just putting out the vibes with that and then trying to get a grant for Suicidal Ideation Anonymous. Places that would act just like AA, places for people to go where they can start to build a tribe and not be ashamed of the thoughts that are going on in their mind. There's billions of dollars going to mental health in the country, and I don't know where it's going because 988 is just not super successful. 75% of people said they will never call 988 again after they did the first time. But there's a lot of money going somewhere. We could do better. There's a lot of money. We just got to make sure it's getting to the right people, places that need it.
Well, love you dearly. You're a beautiful soul. I'm so glad to have met you. Keep in touch. Okay.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Sense of Soul podcast. And thanks to our special guests for joining me. If you want more of Sense of Soul, check out my website at www.mysenseofsoul.com. Where you can work with me one-on-one or help support Sense of Soul podcast by donating to my coffee fund. Thanks for listening.